The New Testament reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 118 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the same when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53, and can be found on page 91 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. How many of you saw the sign out there this morning? How many of you remember what the sign said? So, which one of those applies most to you? That repent, I think every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. So we need to repent. We need to turn around and turn back towards God. Quit focusing on the world and those things that the world promises us, sin, and focus on Christ Jesus. Focus on God, the Father. Look to being led by the Holy Spirit. To do what? To do what God created us to do. And what's that other one? Forgiveness. How many of you need forgiveness? Amen. All of us. Now that forgiveness, that repentance and forgiveness, that's what we're supposed to be preaching. As the scriptures started off, this is Luke chapter 24, 44 through 53, And it's that wonderful thing that we read around this time of year when we're looking at Ascension Sunday or looking at the Ascension. And that Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, gives us another version of the same thing. Who wrote Luke? Well, we think Luke wrote Luke. That's who we assume wrote it. Who wrote Acts? The same guy. Some would say there's Luke, and then there's Luke 2, which is the book of Acts. The book of Acts of the Apostles tells us again what happened. But here's the thing. It's not about so much what happened. It's why it happened and how it happened. Now, we know when. You know, the five questions a good reporter is going to answer: who, what, where, why, when. The what's not all that important. The where's not all that important. But the why and the who are. Well, who is there? We have disciples and apostles. And this is taking place in Luke's account after Jesus has risen from the dead, after he's appeared to Mary, after Simon Peter and John, the beloved, have gone to the empty tomb, found it empty, and have gone back, and after Jesus has already appeared to them in the upper room. Just prior to this happening, there were two men who were devastated by what had happened, the crucifixion, the death of Christ. And they'd left Jerusalem and they'd headed to Emmaus. One of them, we know his name was Cleopas. We don't know what the other man's name was. But as they were walking the 6 miles or 6 kilometers to this town of Emmaus, someone joins them. And he's walking and talking with them and wondering why they're so dejected, why they're so devastated, and what's going on in their lives. And he reveals to them. He just has a way of talking to them. And it's almost as if they know this guy. And they stop for dinner. It's late. And they stop and they invite him to eat with them. And in the breaking of the bread, they realize, holy moly, this is Jesus. And then what happens? He disappears. He's gone. So these two men... It's late at night, and one of the things in the ancient world you very rarely did was leave at night and go someplace where you're safe, head to someplace else. Because what happens at night? Robbers, thieves, lions, tigers, and bears. Maybe not too many bears, but there are lions. Maybe not too many tigers. But anyway, they gave no regard to their own safety. They were so moved with the excitement of seeing the Lord, having talked to him. And then, boom, they're headed up and they show up in that upper room. And then what happens to them? Jesus shows up in that upper room, right then and there. So imagine these guys are just all overwhelmed with the presence of Christ Jesus. And he says to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Get this? He says this how many times and how many accounts? Listen, I'm going to tell you again. One of my teachers said, I'm going to tell you again for possible penetration, because it didn't get into my head the first time. It didn't get into my head the second time, third, fourth. And we don't need to go on to how many times it would take for most of my teachers to get any lesson into me, unless it was a history lesson. And then I was 4 score on it. 4 score. Another history. Gettysburg. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He's told them the same stuff for the 3 years while he was teaching them in ministry with them. And they didn't understand it. Duh. Here's how he changes. Those 3 years he told them and they didn't understand. Again and again they couldn't understand. Well, this time there's something else that he does. Then he opens their minds to understand the Scriptures. You know, as awesome as God is, as unfathomable His power, glory, mercy is. In other words, there's just no, it's beyond our concept. It's beyond our ability to understand. We only know about Christ, about God, about the Holy Spirit, what He reveals to us. It's only what He reveals to us that we understand or know about Him. Now, how are we going to understand Jesus if we don't get in the Word? 3 weeks ago, we were reading in John chapter 15 about we must abide in Him and Him in us. We abide in the Word and He abides in us. And then what are we supposed to do? Love one another. What? How Jesus loves us. Now, in order to do the first part, we have to understand the second part. In order for us to love one another as Jesus has loved us, we have to know how Jesus loved us. How many of you sang when you were growing up? It may have been a long time ago. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How do we find out how God loves us if we don't read the Word? How are we even going to grasp the concept of love, real deep love, if we don't read about His love? His long-suffering. Because we are the most unruly of children. I didn't hear any amens from the mothers. Oh, how are we unruly? Can I get an amen from the mothers now? Randy, I know Randy. Mickey, I know Randy was perfect. Okay. He opens their minds so that they'll understand the Scriptures. He has to open their minds to the fact that the Scriptures that were foretold, that tell us what it was that Jesus, what it was that Jesus was going to come here to fulfill. He wasn't going to set up another kingdom like David or Solomon. He was going to set up a kingdom that's not of this earth. He said, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Everybody open your Bibles to Luke 24. And I want you to read verse 47. That's your homework assignment. Luke 24, verse 47. Verse 46, he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. We are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness. Yes, repentance should be a part of our lives because you know what? We will sin. There are going to be times when that fast car, that great-looking automobile, that great-looking home, that great-looking young lady seems to be the most important thing in our lives, and we're going to follow that to the ends of the earth and sometime to our own detriment. And we have to repent and turn back around and turn and face God. And forgiveness of sin. Who is able to forgive our sin? Not only able, but has already done it. On the cross, Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. What? So we'll be saved, so that we'll have a promise of everlasting life. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's what you and I are supposed to preach. Now, here's the other piece. 2,000 years ago, this happened. 2,000 years ago, do you think there's a single piece of papyrus or a single piece of paper or anything that tells us exactly what happened from a first-person account that's in the original handwriting on the original manuscript in the original paper? We have copies of copies of copies of copies. And we believe that the Holy Spirit has been part of each and every one of those repeated recordings and copying of the word as relayed by people who were there and heard. They're witnesses. They were witnesses, but I'll tell you what, there are miracles still being performed today, and you are witnesses to that. How many of you have seen a baby born? Been there when the umbilical cord was cut? Now, if that's not a miracle, if that's not one of the most beautiful things that ever happens in this world, I don't know what is. Now, the rest of the stuff that that kid does for the next several years is probably not so beautiful and glorious. But at that moment and that instant, how many sunrises, sunsets have just just blown you away? Thought she was going to steer me back. But those are things that we've witnessed. You and I have seen it. Well, these people saw this and they witnessed it. And we're supposed to believe this. Why? Because it happened. Really believe it. That's faith. I didn't see it, but I believe that they saw it. They didn't even believe it when they did see it. They didn't understand it, but whether or not you understand it or not, you can still believe it. How my mother loved me, I have no idea. I was rotten to the core, horrible. Mom's not here now, but as bad as a kid could be, I was. And yet she loved me. How do I know that? Because I'm here now. If she didn't love me, she'd have put me out of her misery. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in God's grace and mercy. Hope that we can someday share that with another human being. And love, because Jesus Christ calls us to love one another as He has loved us. And then as He led them out of Bethany and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. And while He was blessing them, He withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Here's your homework. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Because in the Acts account, it says, just as you see Him going up, He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. There's going to be a shout and a cry, a command, the trumpet's going to sound, the clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to descend. The graves are going to give up their dead, and you and I, believers, will rise together and will be with Him in heaven. There will be the new Jerusalem. There will be the new world. There will be resurrection bodies for all of us. There will be rejoicing. Believe it. Live it, share it. Shalom.